Today on Real Life Radio.
Be in the world, but not of the world. And use what's before you to the glory of God. Example, you can use the internet for evil, or you can use it for good. You can use money for evil, or you can use it for good.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Forgiveness. Some of us want to hear it at times, and some of us don't. The Gift of Forgiveness, the feature offer for May by Dr. Charles Stanley. It's a wonderful book. And friends, listen, honestly, we always have great resources for you, but this is extra special. And here's the reason why. We so much misunderstand the ministry of forgiveness. Please get a copy of this book for yourself. It will change your life, and you might be surprised to find out that forgiveness actually winds up setting you free. Find out more by getting this special May Resource of the Month offer, The Gift of Forgiveness by Dr. Charles Stanley.
The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley is our gift to you for your generous donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Wise Relationships for the Last Days. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and now we have the benefit of learning about relationships as they did in Paul's time. You see, we, of course, are to be wise with what we have, and that includes relationships. There is liberty in being single that married people don't have, but in all things, we are to seek God first and prioritize our time and efforts. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that we are to use the short time that we have for eternal purposes. These are troubling times, but when we stay in the Word and have an attitude of prayer, well, it keeps us wise and usable for God. Now, with his message called Wise Relationships for the Last Days, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You can put your hand down. We easily raise our hands in our singleness or in our married condition and say, well, I'm a Christian. Fantastic. Those things have got to be, no pun intended, married. Our profession and our walk need to be the same thing. And this is vitally important. Matthew 24, 42, as I said, Jesus says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And then, of course, Titus 2:13 calls the return of Christ the blessed hope. He could have come at any time. Look at verse 29. He says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Number two is time dedicated. We are to dedicate our time and our opportunities to God. Regarding time, that's a time stamp, verse 29. Dedicate your opportunities to God. And I believe this. I'm not kidding. I believe this with all my heart. My biggest conviction, the number one area in my life where I get convicted is when I lay down at night and I go over the day in my mind, and here's what I have to ask God to forgive me of. Lord, I think now that as I review the day, I was so busy that I missed those two or three opportunities that I now realize, now that I'm laying down thinking, I missed those three opportunities to glorify you today in my life. Christian, single Christian, today you say right now, Lord, from this moment on, I right now dedicate my time to you and every opportunity you bring into my life. Lord, slow me down. Listen, I mean this with love, and cause me to stop thinking about me and think more about you. Does it help you to know that Jesus was single? Well, you know, it's really tough being single. Okay, talk to Jesus then. He understands that. Now, what does it mean that those who have wives should act as though they have none? That doesn't mean that you bail out on your wife and abandon your kids. That's an idiot thought. You don't do that. It means, listen, and I personally, this is exciting for me, and I have my wife's permission to talk about this because we discussed this yesterday. The verse means time is short, live your life with God's opportunities in mind. Keeping this in mind, number one, marriage is for this world. And this world only. What? I was told that we're going to be married forever. Now, remember it says, to death do you part. You know why it says that? Because the Bible says in heaven, Jesus said it. Jesus says in heaven, Matthew 22, 30, that in the resurrection, no one's married. We will be just like the angels. Angels aren't married. By the way, read the fine print. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. You know what's cool about that verse? This is cool. Angels are not married. We will be in heaven, not married. I know that the Mormon church teaches that you will be in heaven married forever. That's not biblical. Jesus never said that. The Bible says no to that. So check this out. Angels aren't married. We will be like angels regarding that situation in heaven. You know what's weird? Well, that's cool. We will be resurrected, which means are you a male or a female right now? You're going to be resurrected, you, but not given in marriage. That's trippy. Think about it. So what does that mean? We'll be like the angels who are not married. Who are we married to in heaven? Jesus. The Gentile church is married to Christ, or engaged to Jesus, the Bible says, the church. God says, as I said last Wednesday night, that the nation of Israel, the Bible says, is married to God the Father. Very interesting. Dedicate your opportunities to God. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Why? You would say, how come? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? God doesn't share. He's very selfish about your heart and your love. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Dedicate your opportunities to God. Listen, single person, don't dedicate your opportunities to ingest and invest in the things of the flesh. Oh man, I got a weekend. I'm going to go to Vegas. Why? Because I can. Think about it. A single person, they wake up, for example, on Saturday morning, and they put their hands behind their head and they go, what am I going to do today? Freedom. If you take that opportunity and say, for example, oh, I'm going to, you know, it's a 2.5 hour, 3 hour drive to Vegas. I'll just drive on over there and pull some slots. Are you nuts? Are you crazy? You say, look who's crazy. What are you doing? You as a Christian are saying, I'm going to take God's money, God's time, God's person, and go to Satan City. And I know there's Christians that live there and just pray for them. And I'm gonna blow my time, my energy, my opportunities, I'm gonna blow it. And we have no authority, we have no opportunity that is justified by God to do that. By the way, married people can do that too, but it's a worse sin in my opinion. Shirking the responsibilities of being a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad. This is serious stuff. That's why it's so quiet in here right now. Verse 30 says, those who weep as though they did not weep. This is really tough what he's saying. Watch this, you guys. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Here, single person. I'm single and this is really a... Paul is saying, hey, you know what? Put a sock in it, okay? Stop it. Are you weeping? Stop it. Stop weeping. Here's a little dose of reality here. What are you crying for? You can spend the next 30 years of your life crying like that. Get up and live for Jesus. He goes on, watch this. I mean, this is strong stuff, but listen, by the way, Paul the Apostle was a Sanhedrin member. Do you remember in the book of Acts, he was giving orders and dispatching orders to arrest and kill Christians? This is Paul. He couldn't be a member of the Sanhedrin without being married. It is believed, we don't know, that Paul's wife either died or left him when he became a Christian. Think of that for a moment. This guy knows what he's talking about. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Be level-headed about this. Those who buy as though they did not possess. You own stuff, single person. Don't let it own you. You own it. Use it to the glory of God. Not for our own selfish pursuits. Why? Because you'll get derailed and you're going to miss life. He goes on to verse 31, and those who use this world as not misusing it. I love this statement. Be in the world, but not of the world. And use what's before you to the glory of God. Example, you can use the internet for evil, or you can use it for good. You can use money for evil, or you can use it for good. Time, You go down the list. There's nothing that you cannot bring up that can either be used for good or evil. It's your choice. It's powerful. Third thing under this point is this: being wise with what you have, it's passion. Passion. Devote your affections to God. This is very wise. Passion, controlling passion, verses 32 to 35. But I want you to be, the word is, free of anxiety. Who doesn't want that? He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord and how he may please the Lord. What a wonderful but tremendous responsibility. Look at verse 33. But he who is married cares about the things of the world. This is not a sin. He just has to do this. He's got to go to Home Depot and fix the toilets. He's got to do that stuff. How he may please his wife. Drive me to Nordstrom's. There's a sale on curtains. He's got to do this. You have to do these things. There's things that you have to do. And you don't. That's why as a married person, he's like, God help me. I'm not. We're going to do what? We just want to sit here and we want to sit and we want to watch, you know, the flowers grow. Just sit with me. Lisa will say, just sit with me and watch I Love Lucy. Right? And then, of course, you know, my thoughts in this verse are like this. She wants me to watch Lucy. I could go out and preach a message on the street corner and win thousands of people to Christ. And of course, if she's not around and I'm supposed to be doing that, I'm thinking about watching the Laker game. Right? And the Lord says, you should be out on the street corner preaching and winning thousands of people to Christ. Or whatever, right? It's amazing. And so he says that there is a difference, verse 34, between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. The word holy here means, it's a hagios. It means to be separated unto God. That means, listen, she's living a godly life. She's not sleeping around. She's not some sort of a loose girl. She's a true believer. She's a true Christian. Jesus owns your body. Jesus owns her time. Jesus owns her spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she might please her husband. I see nothing wrong with that verse right there, do you?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Let's just keep going. That's great. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may, here it is, serve the Lord without distraction. Here's the part that Lisa and I am so grateful for, you guys, and it is this, that Lisa wanted to make sure that I told you this. When God puts two Christians together in a husband and wife relationship, if you're dating right now, if you're engaged, if you think he or she might could be the one, who knows, we're going to see. Listen, number one thing you need to ask yourselves and ask one another is, if God brings us together, will our marriage increase the influence of the kingdom of God? Did you hear what I said?
Oh man, I think girls are awesome, man, and I'm a Christian. I'm burning with lust. I need to get married.
Listen, God gave you physical attraction. I understand that. That's fantastic. But that's not the reason why you get married. That's not the reason. The number one thing that trumps everything else is, will our Christian marriage increase the witness of Christ in the kingdom of God? So if some of you are engaged right now, nobody called me to tell me to say this at this service. If it's you, ask yourselves and ask one another, will our marriage increase the kingdom of God? Why do I bring that up? Listen carefully. Man, if I had a penny for every couple that I see head over heels, they start out this way, serving Jesus, loving Jesus. They wind up bumping into each other, serving Jesus, loving Jesus. Then they wind up loving each other, which is fantastic, and all this kind of stuff, and it's wonderful and cute. And then all of a sudden, you know what they do? Listen. You can't buy this anywhere. I'm telling you right now, this is serious. They come down this aisle and they say, I do. And then they walk out of this building and they live a life as though it says, I'm done. I do, and we're done. They step out of ministry. They stop serving. They stop being involved in the children's ministry. They stop ushering. They stop going on mission, whatever it is. They get married and they
slowly float away from Jesus. Did you know how terrible that is? I seriously doubt either A, that marriage was of God, or B, are they mismanaging what God has given them? Your marriage or singleness should increase the kingdom. Your passion should be seen regarding this thing. Very, very important. The word to serve without distraction, the word in the Greek means to drag or to pull or to tug a great load, to pull without success. The Bible tells us in Luke's gospel, you can mark it down, but Luke 10, 38 to 41 talks about, remember Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And the Bible says in Luke 10, 38, it says, now it happened that as they went, Jesus entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary or named Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Verse 40, but Martha was what? Distracted, pulled in many directions, a burden that cannot be successfully taken with much serving. She must have had an awesome house, right? Perfect. And she approached him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her, she's telling God what to do. Tell her to help me. And Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried, and the word is turbazo. You are turbazo about many things. We get the word turbid. The water has been churned up so that it's murky, turbid. You can't see clearly. Your busyness has caused the water to be all murky. Martha, you can't see right. Your passions are towards other things. God says, no, devote your affections to God and live. Second point this morning, wise relationships for the last days, verses 36 to 40, it's this. Verses 36 to 40 is this. Being wise with what you do. Be wise with what you do. And this is what we want to focus on in this closing portion, this closing segment of this teaching. Bigger. Mark that down. Bigger. Do what's bigger than you. Single Christian, mark this down. Always be involved in something that's bigger than you. What I mean by bigger is this. It's impossible for God to do it in your life unless God does it, because you can't do it. That's a great way to live. It says in verse 36, but if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, you need to put a little note, highlight it, because the schools of camp take a split at this point. One view is that it is a man who's engaged to a woman. The other view teaches that it is the father of the young girl that's in consideration. If she is past the flower of her youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. You see the way the construction is, but scholars argue. Is it about a father giving his virgin daughter away to a man? Listen, the word implies that the father has protected her from the world in Corinth. It was a sick world. He's protected her from a sick world. Good for him. She's lived under his roof. And in that culture, 2,000 years ago, which now, after having daughters and now a granddaughter, I think this is a great idea. And that is arranged marriages. By the way, dating is nowhere. Dating is pagan practice, by the way. Just thought I'd let you know. Parents are freaking out because their 16-year-old has told them they're going to start dating. Excuse me, what? If they're going to start dating, have them make the house payment and pay the insurance bills. What do you mean start dating? Well, you know, you got to what? I got to sample the world and see 16 years old. You know what's funny about 16-year-olds? We were all 16-year-olds once, okay? I remember just when my face began to clear up, my mind began to go. Right? Your face clears up and then your mind begins to go. I mean, you just can't win for losing. But what is this thing about dating? Well, you know, you have to keep being with other people at a young age and damage your heart and be broken so many times that by the time you get married, you'll say things like, well, I'll marry him or her and I'll just stick with it as long as it lasts, because that's how I've been conditioned in dating. How about trusting God and saying, Lord, I believe you're real. Bring the man or the woman into my life when you want, how you want, and I'll yield to you, God. And listen to this. Lord, even speak to my parents. God's able to do this. See, my dad's not a Christian. God can speak to non-Christian parents. I remember my mom. I would bring a girl home, and my mom would say, I don't like her. Well, I liked her just fine. And then my dad would say, a month later or whatever, my dad would say, I don't know. They're non-Christians, my parents. I brought Lisa home, and this is freaky weird. I took her home, and I came back home, and my mom goes, I like her. She had never said that about any girl in my life. And there are a lot of girls in my life. Never, not once. And then my dad was a monster of a man. He just goes, Jackson, yeah, don't let this one go. They saw something in her. And they weren't even Christians. And they could see. Why? Because they had lived a little bit. And this is powerful. Do what's bigger than you, verses 36 to 38 teaches us. Ask yourself this question. Is it bigger than me? Is my singleness giving glory to God? Or would being married give more glory to God? It says here in verse 37, nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart. And so scholars argue in verse 37, is this talking about the father? Is it talking about the husband-to-be? And they're divided on this, but watch this. Having no necessity, but has power over his own will, he has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. Is this the father saying, I'm not giving my daughter away, or I'm not going to give my blessing away? He decides to keep her. That's, of course, in the context of she's now getting older. She's past the flowering age, the scripture says here. The Bible says that if God is moving and she's not getting married, she doesn't want to get married, she wants to be single, that's fantastic. There's a sense, listen, where the fathers, any fathers in here, listen, there's a sense if you have a daughter, even if you're 65 and she's 45 now, there's a sense that you are loving her and available for her when she needs you. Don't insert yourself into her life, but you're there for her. It's a beautiful thing. But look what it says. Nevertheless, if he who stands steadfast in his heart, is it talking about the Christian man that may marry her? It's possible. You can look at that in detail. You can pray about that. But the issue is regardless of self-control and being confident. And then also this, those who are unmarried, single, you need to hear this. If you haven't read through the lines, I thought I was laying it down pretty bright at the beginning. You have a position and a place in the body of Christ that is admirable. And don't let anyone tell you or fool with you. Single Christian, trust God, serve him, be used by God, be busy about your father's business. Now, having said that, because I'm wrapping this up, having said that, I want to issue a warning to the Christian marriages today. Before I say this, I know what I'm doing. I'm putting gasoline on a fire. I told you guys 3 weeks ago that when we'd come to this chapter and this teaching, there'd be people who would not want to hear this. And there have, in the last 3 weeks, people have said, I'm leaving the church because I don't agree with what's being taught. Really, what's being taught? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I disagree with it. You talk to him. And literally people have left and they've let me know it. I'm leaving. I disagree. Okay. I'm going to throw more gasoline on that fire. Okay, here you go. Because listen, I'd rather have three people in here spirit-filled than 3,000 goofing off. Okay.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Wise Relationships for the Last Days. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, it's God's grace that allows us to come to Him. It's not through our own efforts, but through faith that we can receive eternal life in heaven. Most of us as Christians already know this, but still, we often try to earn our salvation through our works. Or we forget what it truly means to know God and His plan for our lives. That's why Pastor Jack has a tab at his website called Know God at jackhibbs.com. The Know God tab provides specific information on what your commitment to Christ is all about. The Know God tab is also a great witnessing tool for sharing Christ with others. It tells you exactly what happened when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and how to move forward in your life as a believer. And if you've recently made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, we'd like to hear about it. Click on the tab called Connect at jackhibbs.com. And be sure to let us know of your step of faith so we can praise the Lord along with you. That's the Connect tab at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.